We are in the middle of a different Sunday. So if you're new here, in one sense I want to apologize, but in another sense I think this can be a great time or service to really find out who we are, where we're going, and whether this is the place that you want to be a part of. So why don't we begin by opening in prayer, and then I'm going to begin to invite some people up to share some things. One of the things I felt during worship was just the holiness of the Lord. I don't know if others felt that, but I felt like ignore the children and the people on the side of the building. Sometimes I feel like, do you guys ever feel, you know, see, remember in the Wizard of Oz when the dog goes around and he pulls the curtain back and there's, you know, the real wizard and everyone knows the other wizard's fake? Well, I always, and then he starts saying, ignore the man behind the curtain. That's often the way I feel, just when we're trying to get kids sorted out here, ignore all of those kids. Not that I'm fake or anything, but anyway. But I just felt like the Lord, the presence of the Lord, in especially in that last song, I just felt like as we lifted Jesus higher, that the presence and the goodness of God just starts to fill the place. And there's a holiness. You ever feel it like a reverence that comes in to the building? It's in the atmosphere. And I felt like just that's something that the Lord wants to remind us about. When we do all these things, when we come and gather together to be with Him, He is an all-holy, perfect, and His perfection comes in the midst of our imperfection. But His perfection comes not to condemn us, but to transform us and save us and bring us closer to Him and to His likeness. But there is that weight of the presence of the Lord, the holiness of God, the goodness of God. I don't know if you felt that this morning, but I felt that. And so let's pray. Lord, we are going to now just sort of look at the coming year. We want to, each person that's presenting, just to share a little bit about what we're doing and what God, you've told us to do. But I pray that as we, this morning, begin to share your vision, your heart for the Calvary Vineyard, we pray that your presence, your holiness, your purity, your goodness, Lord, the reality that you can accomplish all that you set out to do in us and through us. Lord, that supernaturally will just begin to come and rest upon. Fill us with faith this morning for what you want to do. Give us eyes to see this morning where you're taking us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm looking at the list here. So what we're going to start with is we're going to have a number of people come up that are leading different areas, and they're just going to give you a short kind of sense of where we're going in this ministry. And we want to sort of encourage you. So some of these people maybe aren't used to speaking, and so we ask you to be super kind to them and give them a round of applause after each time they speak, okay? But anyway, we're going to start with Mike Blanchard. And Mike and Jenny, is Jenny going to say something too, or no? Mike's coming up, and he's going to share a little bit about what God has been speaking to the group that actually t- takes your kids out the mysterious door here and over to the portable, and they teach your kids. I'm going to shut my, or put my,
Jay helped me. I did something last night there. I'm Mike. My wife Jenny and I are coordinators for the Sunday school teaching team. Can you hear me? We're very excited to be part of helping build the adult church of tomorrow. Our goal is to collaborate, coordinate the teachers for inspiring and spiritually strengthening the children. We want these kids to know that their God is a welcoming, loving, exciting Father who wants to inspire and empower them. The aim is that our kids know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. They are fortunate. This one's good. This one's good. And I mean this one. They are fortunate to have an awesome staff involved. We already know some of the team as people who are excited about God in their lives and are excited about bringing God to these children's lives. If you know this is something you can contribute to, I think Bobby's got some forms available for people that are interested. Cards right here. Grab a card for this particular if you want. If you feel, you should. And that's all I got written here. But some of the people involved, we do feel very blessed, fortunate to have on the team. We're just picking up the torch from where Nancy left off. We're not really making any major changes right now. Little reminder, some of you we can get a hold of. We're having a meeting for those that are already involved in Sunday school on Wednesday, our house. You guys have the email contact. Some of the teachers that have been thrown on our lap already are really good. I like Jeff and Mike, how they take the kids out and build fires and stuff. So it's a really dynamic team, and we're excited to see where it's going to go. And as for this, the remainder of this stint, Jenny and I are responsible for coordinating that. We feel honored to do so. We appreciate you guys trusting us in that and pray for us.
So if you feel like you can help in that area and you feel like you have a gift to help, that you love kids and want to be a part of that, please talk to Mike and Jenny, and also you can fill out one of these forms and just say, I'm interested in doing that, and put that just at the front here, or give it to Bobby or myself. Okay? Okay, our next speaker is our leader of the greeters, and she also is leader of the event committee, and she actually does all kinds of things in this church. And she is amazing, actually, because she just seems so tireless. She wants to wait till I'm finished saying all the nice things I'm going to say. But Gloria, give Gloria a hand. She's going to share some things.
I feel silly because we were told we could have 2 minutes for each of these subjects. And I mean, I thought at first I'd talk for 2 minutes about giving people big hugs at the door. This doesn't make sense. But actually, I really came to think about this. And first of all, the thought came to me that it says, I think the psalmist says it, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And greeting is about, hoping that everybody who comes through those doors is really glad that they came into the house of the Lord. And that puts a whole different slant on the standing at the door saying hi and giving people big hugs because I really am glad to see them. And then I thought about it and I thought, I'm not the only greeter in this church. And I want you to really realize this. When you drive into the parking lot at the moment, Jerry's there. And Jerry greets you and he says, come this way or go over there or don't park here. And if there's snow out there, he's shoveled it before you even got here so that you could come up the steps. He's helping you with your bags. He's helping people who have trouble moving around. He's a greeter. He wants you to be glad that you came into the house of the Lord. And then when you come inside, you get my hugs. And I'm really glad to see you because these are my favorite people. But then you maybe go to the side and there's a Sunday school teacher there usually who will greet you. And that Sunday school teacher could be dressed up like Darth Vader. This has been known to happen. And he's a greeter and she's a greeter and they're welcoming the kids and taking their names and making sure that everybody is able to come to Sunday school or that they pick up crayons and a sheet to work on. And you would think that the greeting ended there. But this is where I realized that we are all part of this committee, so it warrants 2 minutes, because every one of us is part of the greeting. And when people come for the first time, they come early. We don't. We have vineyard habits. But sometimes they'll come in here, and there are not many people sitting down. And on a sparse Sunday like today with the snow, it may feel a little bit cold and unwelcoming. And each one of us is part of this committee. And really, it's hard for me, I know, to go to somebody I don't know and say, hi, my name is Gloria, and where do you come from, and who are you, etc. There are some people in this church who do that extremely well and really follow up and talk to people and reach out to them in love. But I just wanted to remind us that we're all part of that committee, and I think it's really important. So, 2 minutes? Okay, I could sing a song. The other thing that I try to do that doesn't always work that well, partly because communication is our biggest problem, always in a big group of people. But it says event committee. Well, we don't really have an event committee. But sometimes when something is happening, like today, where we're having a lunch and when various items need to be handled. Sometimes Barry will tell me about it and say, would you get people going? And what happens then is I will phone Tan, who has a phoning committee, and hopefully all those people who are really important and whom we need more of will phone everybody on the directory list so that they know this event or whatever it is happening. So first I phone Tan, then I try to remember to phone Karen to be sure that there is going to be coffee, that somebody's going to be in the kitchen to make the coffee or set up plates and serviettes. And then I phone, get it right, Barry, then I phone the guys and say, can you set up tables? Now, this doesn't happen very often because usually an event is partly planned by the people who are doing it. But that was the idea that we would keep, and it's a good idea, that we would keep communication going. So that when something is happening, we have all the ducks in a row. I've got that phrase on my mind this morning because of Matthew. So that's all there is. I don't need.
Except that I think you do more than you realize. Like our Christmas party. Yeah. See, if I don't mute it, then we'll start feeding back. So then I mute it. Forget to unmute it. But anyway, like our Christmas party that we did, we need Gloria to start organizing all of that. We need to know that somebody is going to come and set up all the tables and who's going to decorate and all those kinds of things. And actually, that is what the event committee does. They start that whole ball rolling. They make sure that all these things begin to happen. Okay, and we need help with that. If you want to be part of helping that, if you're a super organized person, this is one of the things I would say. If you're a super organized person and sometimes the things we do here irritate you, that's not God saying to you, I should go somewhere else. That's God saying, I should use my gifts for this body. I should help them. And that's part of what that whole event committee does. We're going to have Karen Melanson come now. Karen is another person. Oh, we're clapping for Gloria. Oh. I'm pretty sure she got two claps there. There was one at the beginning and one at the end, and I don't know. Okay. But Karen, let's give Karen a round of applause, because you know something? Karen is another one of those people that is at the church just about as much as I am. And so, well, just let me say this. Okay. And she does so many things for our church, with cleanup, with organizing things, the prayer chain, and so on. And so she's going to share a few things that are happening in those areas. Okay, go ahead.
Barry had me down for just cleaning, but we've got the prayer chain added and grassroots. So I'm going to start with the cleaning, since that's been the ongoing. I don't know if you read the bulletins, but for quite a while we had cleaning, asking for cleaning help in our bulletin. We seem to have all our weeks covered now. Thank you for the people who help clean, and I'm going to mention you people because I am just so happy to have you. Jo Shires, she cleans once a week. I think our oldest members of our church, Archie and Shirley, they clean once a week. So if I put the plea out again that I need cleaners, I don't want you to say, oh, I'm too old, because Archie and Shirley are in their 80s, and they come and clean. If you can pick up a rag or a toilet bowl brush, you can clean. And Jerry LaRoque, way back there in the corner. He volunteered just in January there to pick up a week once a month, and I'm just like, oh, thank you, Jerry. And Jerry also does our yard maintenance when the season gets going, so what a guy. And then Deb Calvert, she also helps Shirley and Archie, and I'm not sure if Tim does anymore or not. Nope. And then we have Alan Sankey. Where's Alan? Alan. Alan vacuums once a week. So when I ask for cleaning people, you don't need to vacuum. Alan vacuums. I just need people to clean the toilets, the bathrooms, tidy the kitchen, clean the Sunday school portable for the kids on Sundays. It's not really a big job. So like I said, I have all my weeks covered now. But if you want to help out the one person that's doing each week, because it is a big job for the single people, like Doe does it by herself, Jerry does it by himself, I do it by myself, it is a big job. So more the merrier. We'd love to have you. Okay? Because the church does. Some husbands think those toilets keep clean by themselves, but they don't. Yeah. Okay. So that's cleaning. The next thing we'll go on to is the prayer chain that we've been doing. Our church has done a prayer chain for many, many years. I took it over a few years back when Carolyn Bridges moved on. I don't like to call it a prayer chain. I actually call it prayer partners. Because back in the 90s, I used to be on a prayer chain, and you actually had to call somebody, and then they called the next person, and we have internet now, right? So I have a list of 32 people that I, so I'll get prayer requests emailed to me, and I will email them out to my 32 people on my contact list, and they pray. We don't get together. There's no pressure of that. So if you want to be on that list, to pray, to receive prayer requests, and then I'll send out updates when I have them. And I think it's just, 32 people to pray when one or two gather in my name. We got 32. So If you want to be part of that, just give me an email. It's in the bulletin. Just shoot me an email. Say, hey, I want to be on the list, and then I will just put you on, and then you'll receive daily, whenever I get them. Sometimes it's every day. Sometimes it's twice a day. It's just however the prayer requests come in.
I kind of took all the prayer requests, and I wanted to see roughly how many of them get answered. And we calculated out like something like 85% had a positive answer from the Lord as far as what we asked for is what he did. So it's so important, church, to pray. And if you have something that you are struggling with or that you need help with or you're crying out to the Lord, don't just pray by yourself. Call Karen, send her an email. Make sure you're on that list because we have 32, but we could easily have 72.
Or you can send me a text.
Yeah.
By cell numbers in the bulletin if you don't do email.
Anyway, and get on that. And then all of those people pray, and they stop and they begin to pray for you. So great thing.
And I love to get updates. Please send your updates because everybody else likes to know too. And we have people on the prayer partners that don't even live here anymore. They've moved away, but they've continued to stay on the list, and they like to hear the updates. Okay, the next thing. We have started to partner with the Grassroots Kind Hearts. Does anybody not know what that is? Grassroots Kind Hearts? Not know? Okay. They're a group that started feeding the homeless, the less fortunate downtown. They do it every night. So I've been following them on Facebook for quite a while, and I'm like, wow. These people are amazing. And it seems to be the same people doing the cooking every night, serving every night. And I thought, well, I think we can step up and help with that. So February the 16th, we got together. Did you show those? Oh, you are. Perfect. There we are. February 16th, we went down. We had a group together. We made lots of food. We had just a great assortment of food, and we went down and we served. And it's always served outside. Unfortunately, Grassroots has not been able to get an indoor space yet. When it rains, they put up tents. They serve every night, doesn't matter what the weather is. So our church, we used to do 3 big community dinners a year, and we haven't been doing them. It is a big cost to put them on in this building. We've had some dinners that cost $900. So this is a cheaper way for our church to benefit those less fortunate. So we did a serve. We served on February 16th. We are going to serve again on March 16th. And then after that, we're going to try and do every second Thursday of the month. So please put those on your calendars. And I, too, do not want to see the same people every month serving and cooking. So let's all just jump in. Yes. You could donate food, or you could pre-cook it and drop it off. Yeah. Or just, yes, 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 sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Bill. Yeah. We'll see what we can do, eh? So once a month we will commit. And if we can get more people together, we'll do more. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. More the merrier.
You saw me. I was there. I was the one checking out the cupcakes that were in there. I think they're either cupcakes or cookies. I forget. Okay. So also right now, now Debbie Calvert was going to come and was going to share about our prayers in the portable that we have every Friday, but I don't see Debbie here because her back got hurt at a dinner we were all at together, and she fell down, so she's resting, I believe. My wife was going to come and share a little bit about what's happening. On Fridays, we have a prayer team in the portable.
All right, this is Deborah's, what she was going to share. And after I read it, I'll see if I have any more time to add to it. So Deborah says, I am excited to report on prayers in the portable because I truly believe prayer is a key to our relationship with Jesus. And it is a key to releasing God's kingdom purposes in us and for us. Jesus said, his Father's house is to be a house of prayer. We each individually are God's house, where his Spirit dwells, if we are born again. We're each called to be a house of prayer, and when we get together to pray, how much more powerful and effective our prayers are. We have 6 to 8 who come out regularly, both men and women, which is great to see. The first 20 minutes is spent just quietly waiting on God to hear what's on his heart and listening to the Holy Spirit's direction. So in that 20 minutes, nobody interacts with anybody. We're all just quiet, peacefully with ourselves, writing our notes, our journaling, some don't journal, some do journal, whatever floats your boat when you're speaking to God. And we have the silence of 20 minutes. And it blows my mind every week. We look for the scarlet thread throughout everyone sharing. That is where we zero in on to release. There is power in the spoken word, and so we humble ourselves and pray. As we follow the Holy Spirit's leading, we believe that as we align our hearts with his, and having set aside our own agendas for this time, God, through us, releases his kingdom purposes over the vineyard and the Campbell River. His kingdom come, his will be done. Come join us, and let's do kingdom business together. There's always room for more. We have a portable that fits a lot more than 6 to 8 people, and we would love to have you come. And I personally call it crafted prayer because it's this time of quietness. We listen to God's word, and then after we share what God shared with each of us, then we craft the prayer, what we believe God is speaking to each one of us. And it shocks me that one will get a scripture, another one will get a different scripture, but it's the same scripture, even though it's different, it's saying the same thing. Another one will get a picture, or 10 pictures, but just the thread of it running through what it is that we're praying into. Like, every week I say, how can he speak to us again differently? And he does. And how can he share with all of us the same thing again? And he does. And he's it's one of my favorite, besides Sunday listening to you, it's one of my favorite parts of the week.
Okay. And what time is it? Does everybody hear the time? 11 o'clock on Fridays, 11 a.m., not 11 at night, although if somebody wanted to start a group at that time, they more than welcome. But 11 a.m., and I understand some people working aren't going to be able to go, but it is a great group going right now. Okay, what I'm going to do now is Bobby's going to come up, and he's going to talk to us about a couple of things, one of them being our discipleship path, which is connected to our vision. And so you'll see that our vision, which, remember the big check mark I did, which was basically is to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. That's a very simple thing, but in it, it's packed full of intention. One, we have to know God's love ourselves. We have to receive something in order to give it away. No, I'm not. You're going to do you're doing discipleship. I'm supposed to interact with this. Okay.
Awesome. Sorry, Barry. Yeah. Again, I want to actually apologize. I was supposed to mention at the beginning, connection cards. Fill those out. You have any questions for anybody, put those on, put a name on it, bring it up at the end, and we'll get in contact with you if you have any questions. We don't have time to get into everything we want to talk to. I'm going to be talking really quickly right now. One reason is because we only have about 6 minutes. I have 6 minutes to share 3 things. Second reason is because I'm actually excited about what God's doing and what he's going to be doing. So if you miss something, come talk to me after. We're having food, so you can stop me at that point. The first thing I do want to talk about is our discipleship path. And he's going to throw it back there. Okay. And this discipleship path is to help us achieve the know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. Because there's probably been times in your life when someone tells you, you should do this, but you have no idea how to achieve it. So maybe that you need to get better with finances, or maybe you need to learn this skill, and you're just like, okay, you didn't actually tell me how to do it. This is the path to help us achieve to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. And actually, this is a path that basically can be learned to learn any skill or any character development. The path is to know, grow, and show. And those are the three different sections of it. The know is just learning about it. So, for instance, if you're learning how to play basketball and you're learning how to shoot, first of all, you have to start to understand it. In Christianity or in your character, you may start to learn about how why Jesus died for you, or you want to learn about how to be more self-disciplined, something like that. You can learn everything, but it doesn't mean that you're able to do it. You can know how to shoot, but you may not be able to shoot like Steph Curry, or you may be able to read the Bible and you've memorized passages, but it doesn't mean that you're self-disciplined. That's where the grow comes in, where you want to actually be transformed. You want to actually start to be able to apply those skills. So that takes practice. That usually takes being connected with other people who are going to encourage you, because the stats are crazy on if you are going on a diet, if you're exercising, if you're trying to quit smoking, whatever you're trying to change your behavior, if you're doing it with people, you're like 5 times more likely to actually achieve it. So we really encourage you guys to get in community groups, which I'm going to talk about next. And then finally, show. That's basically teach or help other people on the know and the grow path. That's both in our church and outside our church, because we want all of you to be able to progress along this. It doesn't mean you're only in one section. It's kind of like I'm in each section on different things. I'm always learning more. I'm always growing more. And hopefully, I'm starting to show others what I have been transformed in, how God has helped me, how other people have helped me. And I want to show that to other people, both inside the church and outside the church. So that's our discipleship path, because what we want is we want to create steps for you guys. We don't want to just create programs for our church. We want to be going somewhere. We don't want just something to attend. And that leads me to my next point, or my next topic of community groups, is we don't want you guys to attend church. We want you to belong to church. We want you to be a part of it. Because people attend programs, but they belong in relationships. And that's a great thing that we do with community groups. Community groups are a place where we get together, we learn together, we relate to each other, we encourage one another. If you read the New Testament of the Bible, there's like 150 one another's that you're spurring each other on, you're challenging each other, you're encouraging one another. That happens in the confines of relationships. So that's not always easy, but it takes time to build. So I encourage, if you're not in a community group, to get in a community group. If you're in a community group, get more involved in the community group, just because God wants us to be belonging together and just to have those relationships in us. Finally, I want to talk about youth. It's an exciting time for youth. We actually are going to be starting a new curriculum, which is really exciting because it's, I think, the best in the world. So in youth group, again, we're having those same themes of wanting to connect the youth with other people, whether it's small group leaders or it can be with each other, because life is difficult on your own. So we want to help people go further, faster in the confines of relationships. So when they are going through the different times of high school, when they're having trouble with whatever, a friend or a significant other or something like that, they have someone who they can talk to, someone who can listen to them and those kinds of things. So we have those small groups again in the youth group, but we also have a big group that meets once a month, and that's the time for them to invite their friends, because we want more people to be involved, more people to get to see the love of Christ, more people to know what's going on. So we have that big event, and that's one of the main focuses of that event, is that they are excited to invite their friends because they're going to have fun. They're also going to learn about what Jesus did. So, yeah, that's all I have to share. So thank you very much. Yeah, you can talk to me. Best way is probably if you just fill out community one of the connection cards, and I'll get you connected with that. So, yeah.
Right on. Okay. How many know what our discipleship path is? No. Put your hand up. It's okay. We're allowed to interact here. Right? So the know, grow, show is all about knowing and making known. They're connected, right? How are we going to help you to know God's love? How are we going to help you to make it known? And it's through this discipleship path that we're building. Thank you, Bobby. Mark, you're going to come now and share about the worship community in our church and what's happening there.
Thanks, Perry. Yeah, so I'm involved with the worship on the level that I am, I guess, what we call an overseer. So I help out with the scheduling. If there's any needs that people in the worship team have, then I kind of, I'm a liaison between the team and the leadership team, which I'm also a part of. I'm really grateful to be a part of this church because we place a high value on worship, and that's really cool. You know, a question came to me when I was thinking about what to talk about, and I thought, well, why is worship important? And I think worship is really important because it's so key to creating an atmosphere where God can move, God can speak to people, which is a huge part of how we do church. And if we don't know how to go there in our worship, you know, it's just not the same, right? And it's a big part. Like, we are spiritual beings. We are, how we connect with God in worship is a huge part of how we connect spiritually and on a corporate level, on an individual level. And so I'm very grateful to be part of a church that knows how to move in that. And, you know, this, my mission, I guess my vision for the future year, and it's really all the time, is just how do we best do that? And it's interesting, like, today we just had a guitar with three singers. You know, it's cool when you got the drummer and you got the bass and the keyboard and everything, and it's, you know, it's just really rocking. But when it boils down to it, it's really simple. You know, we focus on God. We open our hearts to Him. And, you know, sometimes it's actually more effective when it's simpler. You know what I mean? But ideally, the goal is to be able to do that with a whole team that all knows how to land on that page. And that's my vision for anyone that joins the worship, is that we really get that. Mm-hmm. And that we, hey, talent and that focus on God is obviously the ideal. But I would rather have a mediocre bass player that really knows how to worship God than an amazing bass player that's just high on itself, you know what I mean? So that's kind of my the way I see the worship. And it's, the people are part of that too. I mean, like, what good is a worship team with nobody worshiping? Right? So we're, in a sense, I see us all as part of the worship team. And I just want to open that up to anyone. Anyone has any comments, or maybe you want to get involved on some level with the worship team. Our media guys, our sound guys are a huge part of that. Like, we couldn't do it without the help of these. Faithful Lee there, he's been there every Sunday on that soundboard. Yeah, let's give him a hand. And Paul's help. If you have any technical ability and we'll train you. Even if you don't have ability but you want to learn it, we'll train you on that. And just come talk to me. I'm the guy to come through. You can also fill out a connection card, and that's another way we can connect. And, that's about it. Pass it back to Barry.
Okay. Let's give him a round of applause. Yeah. I'm going to share a little bit about our vision, and I promise it's not going to be very long. But it's but one last thing I want to let people know about is the Right Now Ministries, which we also have available to anybody in our church. It's part of our No Grow Show discipleship path. It's a place where you can actually go. It's totally free to anybody in our church. That's part of our church. We pay $30 a month as a church for it. And it's completely free to any of you that have the internet and want to go on it. You just need to give us your email address. They'll give you a password, and you can then access all kinds of Bible studies, all kinds of videos, Rabbi Zachariah, John Ortberg, some of the biggest named preachers and teachers on the planet. All of it you have free access to, and we want you to have that. We use it for home groups, we use it you can use it for your personal use. We're using it in the Thursday home group quite a bit. And so this is something we want to offer to you free for just being part of our church. So if you don't have that and you're not hooked up to it yet, please talk to us. All you need to do is give us your email and permission, and we'll send it off to the people at Right Now Ministries, and they will put your name in and get you connected, okay? Well, this year, I'm just going to end with a bit of a vision for what is, with all of this No Grow Show and to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Jesus, what about this year? What is God saying for this year for the Campbell River Vineyard? We had a survey that we sent out to all of you. We thank you for those of you who filled it out. And we got a lot of good information from that survey. Things that we know we're doing well. There's things you're telling us we're doing well. And Kelly doesn't think I'm doing much well right now. Yeah. Anyway, there's things we're doing well, and then there's things that we can, there's opportunities to improve. One of the areas that you guys said, it looked like from all the graphs we did, where you said, you know, we're doing well here, we're doing well here, but when it comes to providing opportunities as a church for you guys to show God's love, we sort of scored like mediocre on that one. Moderately okay. And so we're saying that's an area where we want to provide more opportunities. We want to help you to grow in your ability to show God's love. And showing God's love is about sharing your faith. So how much are you sharing your faith? How much are you inviting people to come to church or come into your life? How much are you willing to grow enough that you take on leadership of things? So all of that stuff falls into the show part of our discipleship path. And what I wanted to do is just sort of nail down this morning something that I believe, as I prayed about it, that God said, this is the heart of what I want my whole church to be about, really. The whole church, not just the Vineyard, of the whole church. We're going to start in a series coming up in the new year. It's called You Are on Mission. And it's all about the mission of God. And one of the things I want you to realize, church, is that if you've accepted Jesus, if you've invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, whether you realize it or not, whether you know it or not, you have been commissioned into a mission. Your life is now about a mission. And this mission is not our mission per se, it's God's mission. God is on a mission. God is doing something in the world. God is wanting to bring his kingdom to the whole world. And when you say yes to him, immediately he places you as part of the team in bringing his love, his grace, his gospel to the world. And we can get ourselves so busy, even as a church, we can get ourselves so busy doing all kinds of other things. And one of the things we're trying to work on as a church is becoming even better at doing our services and trying to be more organized and trying to make sure our events are better and things we're doing, we do them with excellence. But all of that, church, all of it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing to God. If we don't realize this fundamental thing, we're on a mission. And the mission is not about us, per se. It's about out there. I want to start, we're going to look at a video. And this video is Lacey Strum. Lacey Strum was the lead singer and founding member of a rock band called, I think it's, what is her? Flyleaf was the name of the rock band. This is a hard rock band, so I would never have known what they were called at the time. But anyway, she really had everything. she had success. Everything was amazing, but she was deeply, deeply troubled in her spirit. This is her story of what happened to her. Listen to it. This is the mission. This is what the church is meant to be about. This is what you and I, our life, is actually meant to be about. Let's watch it together.
My mom always told me about God. I think I had an idea that God was big and good, but as time went on and I saw more and more tragic things happen around me, I think that was the beginning of me just questioning everything about life and about God. When I was 10 years old, my stepdad came to pick me up and he said that my cousin Kelly was dead. I remember being so mad and really just deciding that if God was big and good, why wouldn't he protect my cousin who was so tiny and so awesome, such a funny, brilliant little guy? Why wouldn't God protect him from a huge muscle guy like his stepdad who beat him to death? I remember thinking that same year that my cousin died about the depth of the evil in the world. I never wanted to have kids. It was just a new person to suffer. That was the year I started to cry myself to sleep every night and stopped believing in God. I couldn't get away from my own depression. So I started studying other religions. There was a lot of nice ideas, but there wasn't any tangible healing. And I remember thinking, I'm tired of the pain in my heart. I'm tired of going to bed that way. I'm tired of feeling like a burden. I'm just tired of not knowing why I'm alive. And so I remember the night I laid in bed and I knew I was going to commit suicide the next day. I knew that I was not going to live past tomorrow. On the day that I planned to commit suicide, I came home from school and my grandma was there and she wasn't supposed to be there. And she looked at me and said, "There's something wrong with you. You're going to go to church." I was like, "No way I'm going to church." And she screamed at the top of her lungs like we were fighting back and forth. And I just didn't want to listen to her yell anymore. And so I decided, fine, I'll go. And then afterwards, I'll go ahead and follow through with my plan. So I went to the back of the church and slumped down in my chair and hated everybody in the room. And the pastor started speaking, and I hated him more than anyone. And he says, "There's a suicidal spirit in the room." And of course, all the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I was, well, this is really weird. And I got up and went to the door. A white-headed man is standing there, and he stopped me. And he was like, "The Lord wants me to speak to you. He wants you to know that even though you've never known an earthly father, that God will be a better father to you than any earthly father could ever be. God knows the pain in your heart. He's seen you cry yourself to sleep at night." The idea was so overwhelming to me. He's like, "Do you want me to pray for you so that Jesus can take the pain out of your heart?" He put his hand on my shoulder and started to pray. It was as if the God of the universe showed up right in front of me. And the first thing I noticed was that God was holy and good. And the second thing I noticed was that I was so not holy and not good. If God had looked at me and said, "Go away forever," he would have been right. It would have been just as. The same time I felt that, I felt him inviting me to an embrace of grace and love unconditional. it was like God is saying, I love you. I know you're tired of the way you've been living, and I will make you new if you will let me. My heart was just yes. It just said, yes, I need that. I want that. Please. And that's why I woke up the next day. I just felt such a peace and a joy almost that I'd never felt before. Jesus saved my life, and on top of everything else, the life of my son and the new baby. That wouldn't be if Jesus hadn't intervened and rescued me. The most overwhelming thing is to think that Jesus became sin, and it was my sin. And it was things that I've done. The house him on the cross, it was things that I've done. He hung naked on a cross, bleeding in a shameful way, so that I would never have to be shamed for the things that I've done. The truth is, there is no other way besides Christ and what he did. There is no life outside of that.
I want to end with a couple of scriptures that we're going to read. One is Luke 24, 44 to 49. Read it with me. Okay? He said to them, I want to hear you guys, so you have to read it with me. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And the book of Acts is actually Luke part 2. Let's read right at the beginning of the book of Acts what it says there. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is Luke's great commission. Matthew has the great commission. This is Luke's version of that, but Luke expands on it a bit. And what he does is he says, you need something before you can go. What you need before you can go is power. Power from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You get this power. Did you notice in Lacey's testimony, there were two things that stood out to me. One was that part about holiness. Remember I said this morning, there's holiness. That when God comes, we just know that he is pure and perfect and good, and that we are not. But there isn't condemnation in it. There's invitation in it. And that's what she received. But the second thing is that the people that talked to her, she didn't want to go to church. First off, her grandma. Praise God for grandmas who say, you're going to church. I don't care what you say. you're going to church. And then she came. But she hated everybody, especially the pastor. The point, though, is the greeter at the door. Think about Gloria and the greeting ministry. What did the greeter at the door do? First, the pastor gets a word from God. It's the power of God. It's the infilling of the Spirit. He gets a word of knowledge. There is in this room a spirit of suicide. See, that caught her attention immediately. Okay, this isn't normal. This isn't just another place. This isn't just a nice message. This isn't just some religious people. There is a power. There is a God. And He knows my situation. And then she went to leave, and the door, the greeter at the door, stops her. And he gives her a word of knowledge about herself. God knows that you don't sleep at night. God knows that you cry yourself to sleep. God knows the pain that's in your heart. God knows what you've been going through. Would you like me? Then he asks her specifically. He doesn't sort of just say it and then walk away. He asks her specifically, would you like me to pray for you so that you can know this God who wants to come and fill you up and take away your pain and do these things? Do you want me to pray with you for that? And she said, yes. And then he did. And then God came. Remember what she said? It's like the whole room filled with the very presence of God for her in that moment. The vineyard has always been about these two things, church. About power and about proclamation of the word. It's always been about the mission. This is what church is, in one sense, all about. If we're not doing this, then we can have all the Christmas meals we want. We can gather up as 55-plus groups. And all we really are is a social program. This is the mission. And this is where the heartbeat of the church is. This is where God's heartbeat really is in all the lacy strums and all of the people across the world, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, the people we know who are in pain, the people who are broken, the people who are hurting, the people who have addiction, the people who are struggling all around us, all over the world. This is the mission. This is the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is that somebody would be willing to go and to pray, and to stop them, and to invite them, and to share with them the love of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus is about. And if we're going to say, where are we going? What is our vision this coming year? What is the heart of what we want to be doing? All of the No Grow Show, which is important, it's a nice structure for us to look at it. All of it, though, is all about this. Amen? This is what we want to do. This is the kind of church we want to be. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that as we go and begin to have lunch and fellowship with one another, I pray that this story of Lacey Strum would be an encouragement to us that, God, you are on the move. You are always on the move. And you are reaching out. You want us to be a part of that. You've commissioned us to be a part of just reaching out to people, of praying for people, of being willing to pray, willing to listen to your Spirit. We want to be filled with your Spirit, with power from on high, so that we can actually function in this way, and people will meet Jesus in this building, and people in our lives will know Jesus. Jesus will be a part of just spreading the kingdom of God. That's what we ask for. Fill this church with your Spirit. Fill us with power. And fill us with boldness, Lord, that we would be the ones who are out there inviting people.